The last couple of weeks, praying, what do you want me to share? I know we'll have a lot of new people. We always have new people, but this will be special. We don't get too many grand openings. We don't get too many building dedications. Time to prayer and commit it to the Lord and new people trying to figure out what we're all about, come to celebrate with us. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a little bit about where God has brought us, the faith journey that he has brought us on, and where we're headed. I want you to know where we're at. Next week, we're going to start a fantastic four-week series, as I mentioned. This week's a little different, but I think you'll be blessed by it. It'll be a lot of fun for sure. 15 years and 6 months ago, almost to the day, I picked up my family. We packed moving vans, and we moved from Loveland, Colorado, across the mountains to Sandy, Utah. We left a church that we had started 5 years before that. It had grown to about 300 people, and it was thriving, and our friends and our kids grew up with all their kids. That's, if you can see here, you know some of these people. There's my family, and I think Jonathan's probably napping. He's not in the picture. But we have the Hans here, and we have the McEnroys there. There's Kelsey and Colin and Brenna. And the Shocks were with us, and there's Stephen, and there's Joseph. Joseph, stand up. I got to show you what Joseph. Go ahead. Come on. Show what Joseph looks like now. There he is. Okay. So anyway, we moved out 15 and a half years ago. With this, we didn't have a shred. I didn't have one mic cable. I didn't have any monitors. I didn't have any speakers or lights. We had nothing. We had nothing. We had one thing, and that was faith. But God said, go to Utah. See what might happen. See what good things might happen if you just go to tell people about Jesus. And here we are today. We're celebrating. A building is nice, by the way, and we love it, and we're glad for it. But what warms my heart more than anything is seeing you in the audience, about you guys. That's what it's about, people. That's why we came out here. That's why we were fine when we came out with nothing. The fact that God has given us some stuff, we rejoice, we thank him. It's a physical manifestation of his kindness, of his mercy, of his grace. That's all it is. And it does allow us to do what he's called us to do. And I'm glad that you're here to celebrate with us. We came out with faith, and that's all we came out with. I want to tell you something. I had a promise, though, when I came. A couple of promises. Let me share them with you. Again, we're going to look back and look ahead. I had this verse. I've got it marked in my Bible. It was shortly after we moved out. I put the date by it in the year 2000. I think it was July of 2000. I put Salt Lake City next to this verse in my Bible. You can come look at it. Job 8:7 says, your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. Isn't that a good verse? That's what I feel like. When I look back, I'm humbled. I am humbled by where God has brought us from. And with so many of you have done it with us for so many years. Some of you for 15, 14, 13 years, you have been doing it with us. And it's humbling. And it's overwhelming at times if I start to think about it. But again, I don't get as emotional about brick and mortar, but I do get emotional about seeing Jesus change people's lives. And that's what we came out to do. There was another verse that God gave me shortly before we moved out. Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Isn't that good? And I just want to share with you, just frankly, that this day, in the not-too-distant future, and 10 years down the road, this day is going to seem small. I'm just telling you that up front. It seems small at the beginning. This day will seem small compared to what God has for us. There's a lot of work to do in Utah, and we're about the Father's business. I hope you join us. I hope you're thinking about joining us, being a part of what God is doing. There's a quote that I love that I titled this message, Seeing Good Things Run Wild. Here's the quote. It's becoming one of my favorite quotes, truly, by G.K. Chesterton. Listen to this quote. I think it marks our church. It marks my heart for sure. It says, the more I considered Christianity, the more I found that while it had established a rule and order, the chief aim of that order was to give room for good things to run wild. I love that. Because quite honestly, there's times I just sit back and go, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. But I love God. And I want people to know him. And God says, I can bless that. And this is going to look wild. And we take risks as a church. We do things like this building. We plant churches. We raise up leaders. We say, we're just going to do it. Let's just do it and see if God will bless us along the way. And he has. And he will continue to. I'm so thankful that you're here to join us this morning. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at where we've been and where we're going. We're going to have some fun with it. I'm going to show you some videos. You're going to see the time-lapse video of this building getting built, which is a lot of fun. We're going to dedicate at the end. We're going to dedicate this building for Jesus Christ. We're going to pray together. I'll have my leaders come up on stage here. We'll pray together. It'll be a lot of fun. So I'm going to pray right now, and then we're going to have a meal, and we'll celebrate together. So let's just bow our heads one more time as we get started. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for putting us in this building. Lord, we know it's brick and mortar and steel, but you filled it this morning, and we're thankful for that, God. That's what it's all about. We acknowledge you, that you're here with us, and that you have a purpose for each person. There's not a mistake that each one is here. You brought them here on purpose. On purpose. You have a plan for their lives. And we're so thankful for that, that you're a good God. You love us. You're good. You work everything out for good to those who love you. And we commit this time to you, that you'd be honored, that you'd be blessed. And we thank you again for bringing us to this point. Humbling, overwhelming. We're thankful. And we give thanks to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, here we go. Just real quickly, where we have been. It's important that you understand. It really is. This is important. Where you get a heartbeat for our church, for our ministry, for what we're all about. Each church has its distinct as we have ours. I feel like God wants me to share with you just where we're at as a church, where we've been, where we're at. And I like to think of church planting and doing what we're doing the ministry we're doing. People ask me, how do you plant church? I've helped plant directly or indirectly about 6 churches. And people say, how do you do that? What's the key to planting churches? And I say, there's 3 things. Key to planting churches. First one is vision. Second one is vision. Third one is vision. You got to know where you're going. You have to have faith to trust that God could do something. God could do more than the small beginning. This isn't where it ends. There's so much more opportunity. As a leader, I know I have to have that. And God has given me a degree of faith to believe that we can do this. We can do this. God has plans for us. He wants to reach people. He loves people. So I'm just going to step into that and see what he does. Be a part of what he's doing. Vision isn't some guy that magically, twinkly appears to you and tells you a message. That's not the vision I'm talking about. In fact, I like what Andy Stanley says about vision. He says, vision is a God-given painting of a preferred future. A picture of what could or should be. What could or should be. And I'm going to tell you something. I have a preferred picture of what Utah could or should look like. Spiritually speaking, I have a preferred future, and it's an encouraging one. It's one that involves the most loving Savior who died for us. It includes a God who loves the world so much that he laid his life down and rose again. That's what a preferred future for me, and I want to be a part of ushering that into Utah. In fact, I stand and pray. I've got a prayer spot on my prayer walks down by Falcon Park, come up a path. There's one spot where the fence is kind of dented there, and I get to that point. And I can see over the valley. I can see the whole valley. And I do this quite often. I'll be honest, every time I stop at this point on my prayer walk, and I lift my hands up. Well, first I look behind me, see if anybody's coming, because I'm a little embarrassed. I don't, you know, people would be afraid if they saw some guy standing on the path. I just look, and I look around, see if anybody's down below looking at me. And I don't care about them so much, but the people walking up behind me, I lift up my hands and say, God, I claim this valley for you. The whole state is yours. I want to be a part of you reaching this entire state for Jesus Christ, that this state would understand that you are the true God, the God of the Bible. You offer salvation for everyone. I claim it for you, Jesus, and I want to be a part of it. I pray that all the time. I have a vision, a preferred future, because it's a good future for everyone that'll join it. It's a good future to follow God. It's a good future to have your sins forgiven and know for 100% you're going to heaven, not based on your good works, not based on your church attendance, not based on your tithing, but based on Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. That's a good future. I want everyone to experience what I've experienced for 33 years. So I'm giving my life to you. That's why I moved my family out on mission. Take them away from their friends. God's given us 100-fold friends, by the way. But it wasn't easy. God brings us to this point. That's vision. That's vision. We have a vision. We dream dreams just like you do. As a church, corporate church, we have dreams. Our vision is 20 life-changing, gospel-preaching, Bible-believing services by the year 2020. Right now, we have 3 church locations that meet every weekend with 5 services. We're soon to plant another church on the west side. That'll be the 6th service. We've got a lot of work to do. But because we have a vision for reaching out, it causes us to take action and raise up leaders and plant churches and send people away. We sent 40 people away from our other churches that are meeting now and have been for 6 months in preparation for the West Side Church plant. They've come out of our churches. We have a team of 40 at least. Sometimes they've had 70 that are there and praying and getting ready. That is sacrifice, but that's what we're all about. This is what we want to accomplish as a church, and you need to know we're on mission to do that. We have vision and mission statements, and I want you to know those. It blesses a pastor's heart to know, and by the way, any organization that the CEO could walk up to one of their parishioners and say, what's our mission statement? And for them to quote it, that's a good thing, isn't it? That the rank and file, everyone in your organization knows what you're about. Watch this. You're new with this? Watch this. We have a mission, and we have a vision statement. The vision is the what, the big picture, what our church is all about. The mission tells us how we're going to do it. But we have a vision statement, and I'm going to show you something. My folks, we together, we know it. Okay, we're going to say it together. It starts one life at a time. You ready, Super Sheep? Let's hear it. What's our vision? Ready? One life at a time. One world in our lifetime. We know what we're about. Let's say it together. One life at a time. One world in our lifetime. We're about reaching the world. If you're new with us, you need to know one thing about us. We are on world conquest. We're about reaching the entire world with the good news of Jesus. We're not content. We have a godly discontentment that people don't know about this. But we do it one life at a time with the person sitting next to you at work, with your neighbor, with your relatives, the people you brought here today. One life at a time. But ultimately, we want to tell the whole world about Jesus. We are on world conquest. This little church that started in my living room. We want to reach the whole world. It starts with our neighborhood, and it spreads out to our city, to our state, to our world. That's what we're about. Now, this is the what. Now we have a how. How are we going to do that, church? Well, we have what we call a mission statement. And you know this as well. So I want you to quote it with me. Ready? It starts, win the loss. Here we go. Ready? Win the loss. Build the believer. Send the sanctified. Say it with me, everyone. Win the loss. Build the believer. Send the sanctified. How are we going to reach the entire world one life at a time? By winning one person at a time. Win them over for Christ. Win them to Jesus. Have Jesus win their hearts. Have them come to a point where they understand they've sinned against the holy God and they can't get to heaven on their own. Because they have a sin problem. One life at a time, we're telling people that. We're helping them understand it. And then we don't point them to us. We don't point them to the Rock Church or a new building. We point them to Jesus, who died for them and loves them enough that he rose from the dead and offers every one of you eternal life. You can have it today if you want it. Oh, but don't I have to do all kinds of works? No, you don't. Matter of fact, Jesus said this. What are the works of God? Jesus answered, the works of God are this, to believe on the one he sent. Belief is the work of God, nothing else. Everything else is an anathema. It's odious to God. It doesn't get you to heaven. Win the lost and then build them up. So we'll have teachings and we'll have small groups and we'll have Bible studies to build people up in God, to ground their faith, to help them understand personally what it means to have a relationship. And then we send them out. We sent 40 to 60 people to the West Side. They're going to plant a church. We send them out to go do it. We send you to your workplace. We send you to put door hangers on people's doors. We help you, we equip you to go do the same thing. We are not interested in being a church that sits and soaks and rots. I don't want a church of 1,000 people sitting here doing nothing. Give me 12 people that are on fire for Jesus Christ. And then we'll see what happens when good things run wild. That's what we're about at the Rock Church. And I think it's important that you understand that. And it's exciting. It's exciting for us to remember that. Nick Vujicic, who is a evangelist, he was born with no arms and no legs. You've heard of him. You've seen him on YouTube. If you haven't, look him up. Nick Vujicic. He's been to Utah several times. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the years as he comes. He's spoken twice at the historic tabernacle on Temple Square. The LDS Church was kind enough to allow him to preach our message on their stage. It was an act of kindness. It was unbelievable that they let us do that. But Nick is a man of God, and he loves Jesus, and he's telling the world about Jesus. Last time I met with him or sat and talked with him a little bit, he said, how's it going, Bill? I said, it's going good, Nick. He said, what's new? And I said, Nick, I looked at him. I said, Nick, Here's what's new. If we win Utah, we'll reach the world with the gospel. And he looked at me, and he percolated. You can see he caught him off guard a little bit, and he thought about it. And I believe that. If we can get this good news of Jesus Christ and his dying for us on the cross and raising him from the dead, if we can get that to Utah, and Utah is transformed, the whole world will be transformed. It will. I believe it. I believe it. So there's so many opportunities. In fact, let me just be share some stats. I'm an engineer by education, so I love charts and graphs. This is a chart, and it's awesome. Why charts? Because you just should. I mean, you should just do charts, okay? They're always a good idea. Chart. Every year, the Salt Lake Trib comes out with a special edition that shows the demographics of Utah. Have you seen that one? It's kind of interesting. They show job growth. They show different kinds of businesses. They show what kind of culture we have in Utah. They break it all down. It's a great edition. They always break down the religious side of Utah. They break down the different denominations, religions in Utah. And this is what you'll find. Check it out when they come out with it this year. The state is less than 3% evangelical. Less than 3% called evangelical. Evangelical is a broad umbrella that embraces a number of different denominations. It's really more individuals. The umbrella includes things like, if you're an evangelical, you believe in the Trinity. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit are one God, not three different gods, one God. They're all God, but they're one God. You want me to explain that in 2 minutes? I can't, okay? Come talk to me afterwards. We'll talk. But we believe it, amen? We believe it. That's an evangelical would believe that, for instance. We believe that Jesus is the only way, by faith, by grace through faith, is how you get to heaven, not works. Nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. We believe that. That's an evangelical. We believe the Bible is the holy, inspired word of God and has no errors. That's what an evangelical believes. That's what I believe with all my heart. So the umbrella has different definitions that fall evangelical. Born again of the Spirit. We believe that as evangelicals. You have to be born again. You're born a sinner. You're on your way to hell. The only way to get to heaven is to be reborn of the Spirit. And that's through Jesus Christ again. That's an evangelical. That's the definition. If you believe those things plus some others, you'll be classified as evangelical. In the state of Utah, Salt Lake Trib says there's less than 3%. That makes us kind of you know, we're a small minority, but that's not the way I look at it. I look at it as, wow, look at the opportunity we have. 97%. It's a great fishing hole. It's a great place to love on people and tell them about Jesus. It's a great place to be, but we got a lot of work to do. But God's doing it. Look at this verse, Isaiah 43:19 says, "See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Open your eyes. Do you not perceive the new thing I'm doing in Utah? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." I love the fact that Utah is mainly desert, and he says, "I'm making a new way in the desert. Streams of the gospel are coming into Utah. God's doing a new thing." Just look around you. I've been here 15 years, and I want to tell you, God's doing something pretty cool in Utah. And by the way, we love everyone in Utah. We love all these non-evangelicals. We don't disparage people. We don't disparage LDS people. We love LDS people. We do. We love all people. And you won't hear us disparaging anyone. Now, do we have different beliefs? Yeah, we do. And as a matter of fact, I've had many conversations, even with some apostles. Elder Hall and I have had many conversations. Elder Perry and I have had conversations. Do we agree on theology? No, we do not. Do they say we agree? They say, no, we don't agree. And I say, you're right, we don't agree. But that doesn't mean I have to hate you. And you don't have to hate me just because we disagree. Let's talk about it. And if I convert you on the way, I'm happy with that. That's okay. But let's talk. We don't have to throw bombs at each other and hate each other. We don't have to. We can have what we call convicted civility. Amen? Amen. Let's have your conviction. Even though it's wrong, we can still be friends. Okay? I won't be mad at you. We'll just talk about it, and we'll talk. It's okay. It's okay. So God's doing something new in Utah. Many opportunities that we're involved in. What do we have here? Oh, first service. From first service, we started this, again, 15 years and 6 months ago in my living room. This was the very first service. Sorry for the grainy picture. That's just the way it was back then. Plus, I've taken a picture of a picture of a picture to get this. But this is me and my wife and Jonathan on our lap, who's just started driving last week, and then McEnroy's, who bought a house just a few houses down from us on the same day Mac and I came out without our wives. Can you believe this? Came out and we met with the realtor, and I said, "I'll take that one, Mac." She said, "There's another one down the street." Mac says, "I'll take that one." And we took video Brought it back to our wives. They said, looks good to us. Don't we have good wives? I mean, that's amazing. Yeah, we do. Said, we'll take it. So we've been there for 15 and a half years. This was our very first service in my living room with the McEnroys. I got up and preached a message to my wife and to the McEnroys, and Kelsey was downstairs watching our babies. We began to grow, and I'm going to show you a video in a second, kind of of our history. Began to grow. Our house started getting full, so in October 17th, we had our first service at Alta Canyon Sports Center on Highland, right behind the fire station there, if you've been there. We met in the aerobics room, which was awesome, and in our first service, October 17th, 15 years ago, we had 101 people, and we were ecstatic. We were amazed and thrilled to have 101 people. Can I just share with you right now, on our serving schedule, we have 160 people just that serve in this location. God has done something new. God has done something amazing, and it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Do I have another picture? No, just let me just share with you some of the fruit, I think, and then I'm going to show you a video. Actually, I think what we'll do is go ahead and, do we have the video now? Can we do that? I'm going to show you a history video of the Rock Church. Bear with me. This is a video we put together to promote this, to raise money for this facility that you are now sitting in, for the chairs you're now sitting in. We didn't have the money. We trusted God, and we said, let's let good things run wild. We were on a month-to-month basis at our 1300 East location, month-to-month for 12 years. We had I got letters several times saying, you got to be out in 30 days, and it's like, and then it fell through. Something fell through. He said, oh, I guess you're still there. 12 years, that hung over our head. So we said, let's get our own facility so that doesn't hang. And so we raised money. That's what this video is. I'm not showing this to raise money. I'm showing it because you're going to see the history. We put it together, kind of a cool look at where our church has progressed, where it's come from, and the heart of our church. And then what I like at the end is that I pick up some dirt and I say, on that right outside there on the north, I picked up some dirt and said, imagine what it'd be like if we raise enough money, we can have our own facility. And you see the church visualized in the background, but you don't have to visualize it anymore because you're sitting in it. Okay, so I want you to see the history of the Rock Church. I'll show you some of the fruit that God's given us over the years. And then we'll show you a time lapse of the how we built the building. And then we'll have a short prayer dedication, and that'll end our service with one song and a meal. So let's go ahead and watch the History of the Rock video. You know, planting the Rock Church has kind of been like a little bit of a wild car ride. It's been scary at times. Also wonder where we're going at different times, but it's always been fun and exhilarating. God has done so much, and I thought it'd be fun just to take a little ride physically and go to the different places that we've actually met throughout the history of the Rock Church, especially to give those who haven't been with us that long somewhat of a background for what God has done through the Rock Church and how he has blessed us. So I thought I'd start with the houses that both Mac and I bought in 1999, before we moved out here, and take us through all the different locations. So this is where we had our first service. Remember, it was me preaching to you and to Jeannie and to Mary.
Yeah, I remember. This is ground zero. I remember you even had bulletins.
I did.
You came, you handed us a bulletin. So
no PowerPoint.
Yeah, well, I think there's fill in the blanks. So I'm sure it was awesome. Yeah, God's really blessed using this house, and this is where it all started.
People started coming, and we only did that for about 2.5 months before we actually started our service at Alta Canyon Sports Center.
Yeah, I remember being so excited when you came and told us that you had found a place, that the Alta Rec Center would be available, and you really felt that that would be a great place for us to begin doing church publicly for the first time. So we were all so excited about that. Although it was fun here, we were outgrowing your house.
Yeah, that's true. Again, it's about people. It's about what God was doing in people's lives, and ever since we've been here, whether it's in a living room or at Alta Canyon, wherever it is, it's always been about seeing people's lives change, and Jesus does that, and we believe it. Well, this is the first place that we met in way back in 1999, 3 years in the aerobics room, and we grew here. We had to set up every morning. We came in, and I double counted because the mirror's over here. We had lots of people coming. This was it. This was the place God gave us. This is where we started. We'd meet people in the lobby, and Josh would be here early to be setting up chairs. You remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. Right here on this little carpet square, We'd set up a table every Sunday morning. We'd have all the sign-ins and everything for just us to greet people. We'd hand out the bulletins. And if you hear a lot of people talking about how they would come into the rec center and people would hand them a bulletin, and this is right where that happens.
It may be an aerobics room, but truly, it's not about the building. It's not even about a room with mirrors and weights and people doing aerobics. A lot of people came here and a lot of changed lives. This is where, truly, our church began, and we grew and we grew and we grew, and we eventually got asked to leave. We were packing this place out every Sunday, and we had to go find a place in about 30 days. But we would have kids' areas over in the racquetball room. We'd baptize people in an Olympic-sized baptismal pool, and this is what God had for us. But again, it's all about what God did to change lives.
So Max, you remember the first time we came into this building and the landlord was showing us our future house?
Yeah, I do. I don't even think he really wanted to show it to us, but we had bothered him so many times, he finally showed up, gave in, and he thought this would be the last place we'd ever want to build a church.
Yeah, I don't think he thought we'd be serious about it. Once he showed it to us, because we stood right over there, and we could hear water, a burst pipe, water rushing through the ceiling, and ceiling tiles were down, and it smelled bad too in here. But I think what was cool was that I think we saw it with eyes of faith, that even though it was completely trashed and rooms back there had wooden floors that were at a 3-foot, bow because they've been wet for so long, we saw that this was a place God could use to bring people and just simply hear the message of Christ. That's all we wanted to do, was to have a place to do that, and we did that here. I think the fact that we've been asked to leave this place in July, that they say they're going to tear it down, is a pretty good indication that God's leading us. And the fact that we have land, we just simply need to put a building on that property. And again, not just have a nice building.
No.
You can tell we don't care about nice buildings. It won't hurt to have a nice building, but it's going to bring more people to a point where we can simply tell them about Jesus Christ. And so we may leave this place, but the church is coming with. The church is going to be in Draper. It doesn't matter what building we're in. So we're excited about what God's going to do in the future, this next season. In 2003, we had grown as a church. We had a number of young men and women coming, and we actually hired our first staffer, Paige Crosswhite. And I turned her loose, and I said, Paige, go find a place we could plant our first church, a church that would be relevant to her friends, who we had a bunch of at that time. And this is the building she found.
I'd looked at several places. We were launching in 3 weeks. We had no place to meet, and only phone calls to my number and a website to go to. In 1 year, it was fascinating because we grew so much. We were trying to hit a relevant culture. I remember Bill just said, Paige, build a place that your friends are going to want to come to. And that's what I did. I gathered a small group of people. I said, guys, this is our vision. Let's go for it. We were all volunteering. I was the only one working for the church. And we built this place.
Josh and I were working together to turn the downtown building into somewhat of a presentable church. And at that time, we had a plan to put together a coffee bar that involved some mixing of cement and moving of heavy bags and putting these cement pallets into place. And as Josh was telling me this, I had the thought, we don't have any men that are going to be able to help us do this. And so we made some phone calls, and that night we had 8 guys show up. And I remember screaming on the top of my lungs, Josh, can you believe that we have 8 faithful guys that showed up to help us with this coffee bar?
And I remember when we started, we had 1 childcare room, and we had like 1 or 2 childcare workers.
We dump out our bin of toys, and the 3 of us are sitting around playing with our kids and watching them play with the toys. And you fast forward 8-9 years, there's 60, 70 kids showing up on a Saturday night. And those kids, there's a lot of kids, but the reason those kids are encouraging to me is because it translates to change lives. Because most of those kids, their parents weren't even in the church 8-9 years ago. Mom and dad got saved, they joined the church, they got married, and now they've had a kid or 2, or 3, or 4, or 5.
On God's heart is people. In the fall of 2006 and even on into 2007, the downtown church, downtown Salt Lake Rock, was raging. The seats were full, and we're trying to figure out maybe where would the next strategic church plant be. And we realized in the first front rows of church, it seemed like every Saturday, there were a group of people coming up from Utah County. During worship, they'd be raising their hands. Each time we had baptisms, it seemed like someone from that group was getting baptized. And later on that spring, the pastors got together for a retreat up in Ogden. We were praying and seeking the Lord for what our next church plant might be, what God was doing. And we realized that God was calling us. I realized personally, God spoke to my heart that we would plant a church in Utah County. So not long after that, we moved down here and rented out this old warehouse, and we had fun fixing it up. It was trashed. It was an old auto repair business, and it was just a wreck. But a number of people from Sandy and Salt Lake came down and helped us fix it up. Now, 5.5 years later, we're confident God is still doing that. In fact, we're fixing up the building again, putting new paint on it. But God is still saving people. There's still baptisms, and it's still on his heart about people. We really think that this is a strategic location right here in downtown Provo where God will continue to use this place as a rescue shop.
Ever since we moved to this valley, we had a dream to have a home of our own. And finally, I think God has brought us to this place. This piece of property is where God has brought us. And we're excited to put a building on this land and get our roots down deep so that we can have greater impact for Jesus Christ.
After our first roots program, we had enough money to pay for this land in 2008. Now, when we get a building, I believe it's going to give us stability, legitimacy, and opportunities like we've never had before to share the love of Christ with Utah. I just want you to imagine with me what it'll be like when we finally put a building on this dirt.
This is the spot where God has decided to move his pillar of fire. This is the land that he has chosen for us to build him a new church home. To start that, we're launching our Roots 2.0 fundraising campaign. With a successful campaign, we will have the funds necessary to start construction on a new permanent facility. Envision with me this being the nursery in our new church home. Over here would be the toddlers. Over here would be the classrooms. Here we would have the sanctuary where we can worship our Lord and Savior and hear messages from our pastor. Over here would be the lobby where we could fellowship with family and friends.
Seeing what God has done in the past through the Rock Church has definitely been a ride. But I believe with all my heart that what he has for us in the future will make the past look like black and white. Thanks for being a part of this ride down the history of the Rock Church. It has been so cool to see what God has done. But I want to tell you something. It's about time to buckle up because we have a future that we can't even imagine. God has plans for this church, and you are part of those plans. In order to make this dream come to reality, put a building on this land, it's going to take more than just land or just dreaming. We're going to have to commit financially. But if we all work together, honestly, I believe we can make this happen. I know we can. You need to be a part. You need to commit. And I believe that if we work together, we can accomplish amazing things. I believe God wants to win Utah and therefore reach the world. I want you to be a part of what God is doing at the Rock Church. I changed my mind. Could you pass the plates, please? Let's go ahead and No. Here's some of the things. I think it's important for you to understand, just to see some of the fruit. These are things that we know. In the past just 10 years, we have names, not just people raising their hand, we have people, their names in our database, 744 names of people that have come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's just the ones we know. That's not the weekends where we've had 30 people say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know more about Jesus. These are people that we know for sure. We've had 590, almost 600 baptisms in 10 years. God has done a lot. That is a lot. And if you know Christian churches, that is overwhelming for anyone to think that they could have that many. I mean, God is doing something new here in Utah, and we're honored to be a part of it. We have 3 churches, 5 services, about 900 people on a weekend services. A new church plant this fall, West Side. As soon as we can get a building secured, we'll start that. That'll be our 6th service. Marriages, families have been changed, children have been changed. honestly, it is overwhelming to think of all that God has done just in the past 10 years, let alone 15, because we had, by and large, more people saved the first 5 years than even these past 10. God just did so much in those first few years. We had baptisms at the Olympic-sized swimming pool. We'd have 20, 30 people sometimes, it seemed like. We had 3 mission trips just last year. We had over 50 people join us on mission trips to Honduras, to Romania, to Europe, just to share the love of Christ with the world, because we're on world mission, remember? We've literally given away, because of your generosity, given away to people outside of our church and organizations outside of our church, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm not exaggerating. This little group that started in my living room 15 years ago, God has allowed us to bless so many others through you, through your sacrifices. The Rock Music, we have a new album coming out. God has blessed us with so many talented musicians. It's just one of those unique things God has chosen to do in our church. At one point, I think we had 14 different worship bands. They sit together as worship bands and learn together. They create original music. This new album coming out on November 22nd is an original album about the book of John. We split up the book of John and said, write songs about the book of John, because that's what we're currently going through. And that'll be available November 22nd. You can go to the concert. We're having an album CD release party November 22nd, 6 o'clock downtown. Just some of the things that God has done to show you that it has been a ride for us. It has been exciting. Ultimately, it's about people. I heard a story on Thursday from a girl named Canyon Lim, and they were here first service, and I'm sure they don't mind me saying this, but Andrea, the mom, came up to me after the service a couple of weeks ago and said, man, I had a great weekend. I said, what happened? She said, well, I invited some people to church Saturday night, and 25 of my friends came. She invited, 25 people came through her invitations. She said, we usually go Sunday morning, but we took them Saturday night. And I said, could you write me about that? I'd love to have that, a couple paragraphs. So she did. The Limbs have all gotten saved and become Christians at our church. They've all been baptized here at the Rock Church, and God is working in their lives. And Canyon at her high school has a Bible club that has now become an official school activity. It's been a Bible club approved, and she's having influence there. And this is just one example of many that I could read, but let me read you one paragraph from her email. I asked her to explain what happened when she invited that many people. She said, one of us that was there, one of the girls that came, had been saved only a few months ago. And she tells a story. She says, I'd slowly been sharing the gospel with her over a year now. And many times I felt she was not really listening, that she was not interested. I had asked her many times to come to one of the Rock services, but she brushed it off. Then one Saturday, she asked to go. She says, I normally don't go to downtown, but I was quick to jump at the chance. That's a super sheep heart right there. She jumped at the chance. She said, the message was entitled Contagious. And my friend called me the next evening and said, you are contagious. She said, after telling me about the evening that she had, she said she went home and read the information that she received at the Connections booth. She got on our website and read every word. She downloaded the free music that she got, the free music card, and she said she broke down and asked Jesus to forgive her of her sins. You became a Christian that night? Yes. Amen. She says she now knows that Jesus loves her, and Andrea concludes, she says, be still my heart. God is good. God is good. That's just one example of what God's doing through you and through the ministry that God has for us here at the Rock Church. So I'm going to move to our last section here, and I want to transition with, it'd be kind of fun to see the building being built. It's not the whole time, but it's from, we only broke ground. It was March 1st of just 8 months ago, exactly. 8 months ago, we broke ground. Can you believe that? This is here. This was dirt. We were standing in dirt 8 months ago. That's when they broke ground. We have a time lapse that shows you, I think, about 6 months of that. Some of it's inside. They had to move the camera a couple times. But it's kind of fun to watch. Would you like to see the time lapse of the building? Yes? Okay, let's do that. And then we'll conclude with a prayer. I'll have leaders come up. We'll pray, dedicate this building and ourselves to the Lord. And we'll conclude with a song and then a meal. So let's go ahead and show the time lapse video. Kind of fun to see that. I want to make this real clear. Oh, it's still going. Okay. Is that here's what we have now. We have this building, and I just want you to understand that when we designed this building, we designed it in two phases. Actually, we came up with the whole thing, and we said we can't afford that. Can we just do this in two phases? And we figured out a way to do it. So I want you to understand that, where we're going. We finally have a home of our own. It's going to give us all the things I talked about in that video, but know this is just phase one. We basically swap spaces as far as the amount of space we have. It's better design, but we basically have the same space we had at the other place, a little bit more. So this is phase one. Here's where I'm standing right now. We have all of this, but the bigger vision, and this is where vision comes in. I'm painting a picture of a preferred future right now for you, is that phase two would come quicker rather than later. All right, as soon as we can pay off our note for this building, which means continue with your pledges. Those of you who pledged, we had a year and a half left, and that'll help pay off this side. Then we can move to this side because this will then become some classrooms and a big youth area right here, but we'll have a much bigger auditorium and a huge lobby and some offices and some other things. That's the bigger picture for this facility. This just got us into our own home, which we're thrilled about, but ultimately we want to go to the phase two. So this is what it looks like. It looked like the rendering, the drawing of phase one. This is what it looked like with phase two on there. It'll be a big auditorium, a huge lobby, and we'll have a McDonald Playland right there. It'll all be glassed in. That's what it's going to be. That will attract hundreds of families, and that's why we have it. So that's phase two. This is what it looks like from the north. We're not going to put all that concrete in like we thought we might. We're just going to leave it grass for soccer or whatever. And this is what phase two will look like. So this is what the lobby will look like inside. We have a fireplace over here. It'll be a great place to hang around, and you can have dinners and weddings and whatnot. It'll be a fantastic facility, and this is what we could have. We could have this in just a couple of years. I'm trusting that we will. So with that, as far as future, don't forget the four-week series. I'm challenging you to come to the 4 weeks. So that's where we're headed, all right? So with that, I'm going to have my leaders, if you're a deacon at the Rock Church, doesn't matter which campus, or you're a pastor of the Rock Church, come on up here. As you come up, I'm going to read what Solomon prayed when he dedicated his building. Come up behind me here. Because I've always read this, and every time I've read it, I've thought to myself, this is something I want to read at a building dedication. And this is what Solomon said after he dedicated and prayed for his building. He said, "Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed. All of the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us or forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in all of his ways, and to keep the commandments, decrees, and regulations he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, and may he uphold the cause of his servants and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need." And I wanted you to see these last verses here. Verse 60 and 61 of 1 Kings 8. "So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God." Now, I love that because that was Solomon's heart and that's our heart, even for this facility. What is the purpose of this facility? So that all the peoples of the earth, all the peoples of Utah at least, may know that the Lord is God and that God might use this facility as we dedicate it to him for that purpose. But, speaking to us, "your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and to obey his commandments at this time." This is a challenge to us, and it's a commitment to the Lord. So what I want us to do is we pray, and we end with a prayer, is for you to stand up with me, if you would, in solidarity. Everyone stand up. And I'm going to have my leaders not stand up. I'm going to have my leaders, as Solomon, if we read the verses before there, Solomon prayed before the people on his knees. You can remain standing. I'm going to have my leaders, if you would, take a knee, and we will pray together. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to read a prayer of commitment to the Lord here, and you can join me in this prayer. God, we thank you. We come into your presence today and we bring to you this building. First of all, we want to thank you for all the love and the sacrifice and the labors that have made it possible. Lord, we have provided a place where we can worship you, and you've given to us creative minds and skillful hands that helped design and construct this facility. Thank you that no one got hurt in the construction of this building. Thank you that many people heard the gospel during the construction of this building. So God, we give this building back to you as an offering. Lord Jesus, you laid upon our hearts the same burden that was on David's and Solomon's heart to provide a place of worship for your children. And thank you that you've done it for us, and we are here as a witness of that. So we thank you. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move in us today, and we invite you to come into this place and settle upon everyone who might enter. May the power of the living God be in this building. May it always stand for the glory and the name of Jesus Christ and for his magnificent purposes. May it be, Lord, that your Spirit will touch every man, woman, and child that doesn't know you personally when they walk through those doors. May they recognize they are in the presence of Jesus. May there be such a feeling here of blessedness of Christ and the sweetness of the Spirit until all men and women will come from all parts of the city in Utah to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only do we give you this building, Lord, but we give ourselves to you for your service and for the cause in which you called us to reach every man, woman, and child with the good news of Jesus. Oh God, we pray that you would receive us this morning. We're your children. Hear us, O Lord, receive this prayer and receive our tribute of your goodness, the works of our hands as we present them back to you. May the power of God take our sacrifice and take us with it as we dedicate both building and congregation to the kingdom of God and the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For it is in his holy name, Jesus, that we pray. And all God's children said, amen and amen. Thank you. Amen. Give God a round of applause.